Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We hope this podcast helps you disconnect from the chaos around you and reconnect with the person of Jesus. In this series, we're going through some of the iconic stories that happened in the life of Jesus, and our desire is that these messages give you hope, joy, and peace in this uncertain time of our lives.
Good morning. My name is Joel Trainer, and I get to be the pastor here at Three Creeks Church. I am sitting by a fire once again. I think I'm sitting in the right spot, but the wind may change and the smoke may be in my face. So you'll just have to deal with me. It's like a fireside chat this morning. I get to tell a story about something that happened by a fire, and I think it's all going to kind of make a little bit more sense here in just a minute. I'm excited to share with you what God has put on my heart this morning. And also at the end of the service, we're going to take communion together. So if you call yourself a Christian and you want to partake in communion with us, we are going to do this. We are going to do that at the end of my message. And so I guess if you need to pause, maybe even right now, and go snag some crackers or some bread and go snag some juice or some water or something to drink, we are going to do that at the end of the service today. And so here we go. We're sitting by a fire, and let me just start off my message today by asking you a question. What do you think is the most famous verse in the Bible? I think that if you spent a lot of time around church, there's probably a few that come to mind, but I'll bet you that if you had to pick one, my guess is that you would pick John 3:16. And even if you haven't spent a lot of time around church, my guess is that you've still heard of John 3:16, because John 3:16, it's like a verse that has transcended culture. It goes beyond church, beyond the Bible. You go to a football game and you see somebody with a John 3:16 sign. You go to In-N-Out and get one of the world's best burgers, always fresh, never frozen. And on the inside of the cup, it says John 3:16. If you watch The Simpsons, there's references to John 3:16. If you watch the Football National Championship, you saw that Tim Tebow wrote John 3:16 under his eyeballs. And I just think this is a verse that is so famous. And it's one that a lot of us memorized growing up. It's a song that I know like four songs that go to this one verse, having grown up in church. But it is a powerful verse. There's a reason why it's the most famous verse in the world. Let me ask you a couple of questions about John 3:16. Do you know who said it? Do you know who it was said to? Do you know when it was said? And do you know where it was said? Do you know where and when and why John 3:16 happened? Because when you know the whole story, it kind of comes to life. Let me just read it for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a 26-word parade that starts with God and ends with life and urges you to do the same. This is why I'm sitting by a fire, because when this verse was originally said, it was, I think, said by a fire. See, in 27 AD in Jerusalem, they didn't have electricity, obviously, and so they'd have lamps and candles in their homes to light up rooms in their homes, but outside, if anybody was going to have a conversation, it was going to be by a fire. And in 27 AD on Passover week, which, if you don't know anything about Passover week, let me just tell you what it was real quick. It was Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving combined. I mean, this is the holiday of the year. Thousands of people come to Jerusalem. If you have an empty bed in your house, one of your relatives has claimed it. Everybody comes to Jerusalem for Passover. And at this particular time, Jesus, there's a palpable, you can feel the momentum around Jesus. I mean, Jesus kind of makes his way around the temple courts and hundreds of people following him, asking him questions. It's like a press conference and asking him questions, and he's telling stories. He's talking about the kingdom of God. and everybody's kind of into Jesus. There's a following that's just growing and growing. Hundreds, thousands of people are into Jesus. I mean, he's doing miracles and stuff. And there's 70 people who are threatened by Jesus. They belong to the Sanhedrin. They're the 70 most powerful, rich, influential Jewish leaders in the religious sect. They're the Pharisees, they're the Sadducees, there's 70 of them, and they're loaded. And Jesus threatens everything that they own and have built because Jesus is saying that everything that the Pharisees and Sadducees are saying isn't true. And so one of the people in the Sanhedrin, his name is Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a rich man. He is a Pharisee, and he's an honest Pharisee. He, in his deep conscience, believes that there's something about Jesus that's different. And so he can't just, while all of his friends in the Sanhedrin kind of look down their nose at everybody who's not as good as them, and while they're all threatened and all their money's threatened, there's power threatened, Nicodemus is honest enough to say, there's something about Jesus that I don't know and I want to know. And the reason that we know that this is true is because of John chapter 3. So let me just start in verse 1 and read you John chapter 3 verse 1. It says this. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. There are two reasons why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. The first is, he's not allowed to be entertaining this idea. He's a part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, they can't find out about this. So he's doing it under the cover of darkness. No one is going to know. See, he's not supposed to be thinking about joining Jesus. He's thinking about how to kill Jesus. That's what all of his friends are doing. And so he comes at night because nobody can see him. He would never have gone to see Jesus during the day like this. The second reason is because during the day, nobody gets one-on-one uninterrupted time with Jesus. Because Jesus is out about in Jerusalem, hundreds of people are following him, and it's like a press conference. People just peppering him with questions and him giving these answers and telling these stories in response. Nobody's getting uninterrupted time. And so for Nicodemus to be honest about where he's at, he's got to have some one-on-one undivided time with Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus at night. Maybe that is actually how you feel a little bit with church right now. Like my guess is maybe there's some people watching who go like, I actually have enjoyed this whole, you know, lockdown, churches can't meet things because I can tune into church online when nobody can see that I'm going to church. Like, you don't actually have to go to church. You just get to maybe feel it out a little bit from the comfort of your couch. But if you're honest, you feel like Nicodemus where you go, man, I'm curious. I want to know more about God. I want to know more about Jesus. And you have some questions. And see, Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus at night, verse 2. He says he comes to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. In other words, there's something to this. What is it? He's asking Jesus, what am I missing? And I think that's a question that a lot of people that I interact with are asking. They're looking at their life and they're going, I have everything that I thought that I wanted, but it still feels like something is missing. I have the job, the relationship, the house, the whatever. Like, I've accomplished what I set out to accomplish, but I just still feel like there's a piece missing. There's something missing. I don't have this deep inner peace. I don't have this true hope that goes beyond my circumstances. And you hear about God and Jesus and you go, maybe that's the piece that's missing. What Jesus replies to Nicodemus, he says in verse 3, Jesus replies, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus says, what are you talking about? Look at what he says in verse 4. How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb Every time I read that verse, I imagine an adult like in a womb, and I think I have this mental image of Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live. But that's beside the point. The point is, Nicodemus, he is so confused. He's going, "What do you mean, be born again? What does it mean to be born again?" And Jesus responds to him. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." So Jesus is saying, first you've got to be born of water, which is human birth. Like, what happens when your water breaks? You're about to have a baby, right? Like, this is human physical birth. Everybody's going to be born of water. But not only do you have to be born of water, you have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be born again. Look what verse 6 says. It says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." You guys, people are going to, they're going to keep having babies. They're going to keep multiplying. Flesh is going to continue to give birth to flesh, but it's Spirit that gives birth to Spirit, meaning that it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit enabling you that you're able to be born again spiritually, a second birth. So nobody who's born of the flesh, when you're born, you're not a Christian. So nobody can ever say, "Well, I've always been a Christian," because it's not true. You haven't always been a Christian, because when we're born, we've just been born once. We have to be born again to be a Christian. If your grandparents took you to church when you were younger, you went to Sunday school through elementary school, that doesn't make you a Christian. If you went to confirmation because your parents made you do it, that doesn't make you a Christian. If you are an American and you own a Bible, that doesn't make you a Christian. You've only been born of flesh. You have to be born again. In Beth's story that she told just a few minutes ago, that video, she talked about being 25 years old and having looked back, and all leading up to that point, she may have said, "I am a Christian, God and country." But it wasn't until she was at that concert and during this, you know, season of her life where she was like, I don't feel like I've ever actually been born again. I don't feel like I've ever prayed to really give Jesus my life and have him forgive my sins. I've never had that moment. It wasn't until later in her life, she had the humility to say, "I need to be born again." Like, it had never happened for her, even though she'd grown up doing churchy Christian things. And if this confuses you, welcome to the club, because Nicodemus also is confused. In verse 9, finally, he asks Jesus straight up. He goes, "How can this be?" And Jesus talks to him for a little bit and boils it down to John 3:16, where he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You know, if you look at the whole Bible, I'm just being honest, there are times where this thing is so overwhelming and confusing. But John 3:16 to me makes it so simple and so easy. God loved the world so much, he sent Jesus. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but he will have eternal life. You see, Nicodemus has questions and Jesus has answers. Believe in me and you will get eternal life. And I believe, based on what we read about Nicodemus and the rest of the book of John, that Nicodemus was born again. In John 8, Nicodemus is sympathetic to Jesus's cause in front of the Sanhedrin. That would have been suicide for him at the time. But he goes to bat for Jesus. And then in John chapter 19, Joseph of Arimathea, he's actually another one of the members of the Sanhedrin who chooses to put his faith in Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea uses a tomb. His tomb is the one that Jesus's body was put in for a few days. And Nicodemus is there next to him in John 19, putting spices on the body as it's being buried. Nicodemus chose to put his faith in Jesus. In fact, this is kind of cool. In this, there's a collection of Jewish history documents called the Talmud. And in the Talmud, there's a person named, I want to make sure I pronounce it right, Nachdimon Ben-Gurion. And in the Greek, that's translated to Nicodemus. So So most people believe that they're talking about Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was so rich, part of the Sanhedrin, he would have been a kind of a famous figure in culture. And so when he's referred to in the Talmud, it makes a lot of sense. He was from Galilee, actually, which is the same area that Jesus was from. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, Nicodemus is like, man, this guy's from my hometown. I got to go see what this is about. And then it says that later in his life, he's actually martyred, killed for his faith in Jesus. And it's because he really believed in what Jesus said, that if he believed in Jesus, he would not perish, but he would have eternal life. You can live a fearless life if you believe John 3:16 is true. Let me just speak real honestly to the person who is watching right now, and you're not born again, and you know it. And maybe you've been hanging around some Christian circles for a while, but you're not born again. And maybe you've said you're a Christian, and maybe it's kind of weird to go back and say, well, I don't think I was a Christian, you know. Maybe, I don't know where you're at, but maybe you're curious and you're going, man, I just am looking at my life and going, it just doesn't feel like I'm complete. I'm not full. I'm not whole. Something's missing. Like, I have everything that I wanted and I'm still not feeling fulfilled. If you feel that way, maybe you're curious. Is God the piece that's missing? Is a relationship with Jesus the piece that is missing? I would give you the same answer that Jesus gave Nicodemus sitting around a fire in 27 AD. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. The people that believe in that verse, the people that believe in Jesus, that are born again, they can live a fearless, fulfilled, joy-filled, peace-filled, hope-filled life, because they know that their eternal destination is secure. They have put their faith in the King of Kings, Jesus, and he's forgiven them of their sins, and so there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. This actually isn't the first time that I've ever preached about John 3:16 at Three Creeks Church. In fact, about a year ago, I talked about this story. And something amazing happened around it. Maybe more amazing to me than anything else we've experienced at Three Creeks. I don't know. It was so beyond coincidence for me that I still haven't been able to shake this. I just spoke about John 3:16. There was somebody coming to our church at the time named Jesse. He'd been coming for a while. He was curious about God. He was exactly who I was just talking about. You know, he was curious, is this a missing piece in my life? But he was kind of hesitant to jump all the way in. Jesse comes over to my house the following week after preaching about John 3:16. We're sitting around this fire in this yard. And I point blank asked Jesse, I said, Jesse, have you ever had a moment where you asked God to forgive your sins? Have you been born again? Is the old dead? Are you alive again in Christ? Have you experienced that for you? Personally, you. And he said, no, I haven't. And his honesty was so refreshing. I love talking with people like that so much, that can just be so honest about where they're at. And so I gave him a couple Bible verses. I said, Jesse, I'm not trying to put pressure on you. I just want you to read these verses. And he went home, and that was a Friday. I texted him on Saturday. I said, hey, did you read any of those verses? He said, I don't even know if he had or not. But he said, something else happened that was amazing. I said, well, obviously, you got to tell me what happened that was amazing. He said, I got home that day, and a friend texted me and invited me to play basketball. And I didn't want to go. And then, his words, not mine, I just felt like I was supposed to. And he goes, turns out it's a church thing. And they're playing basketball. In between the games, the pastor stops them all and says, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time? And he's probably paying for the gym. So they all agreed to sit there. And for 5 minutes, he talked about John 3:16. And Jesse's just lining up all these stories in his life. And he's going, there's no way that God isn't after me. There's no way that the Holy Spirit isn't after me. He's chasing me down. And that day, on that Friday night, Jesse gave his life to Jesus. And he was, in the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, he was born again, born of the Spirit. His old self was dead and he was raised to life, born again. And, you know, if you're sitting there and you're going, I want to have that experience. Like, I want to be born again. I want to be all in with Jesus. Man, nothing would make me more excited and more thankful than to just know that about you. There's a connection card down in the description box below, and there's a box on there that says, I want to start a relationship with Jesus, or I've got some questions about God. Man, I would just love for you to fill that thing out, and we'll call you and just get to tell you a little bit more. Maybe we can just pray with you over the phone or over a Zoom call. Or maybe by that time we can meet in person. I don't know. We'll see. Point is, if that's you, if you haven't been born again, but you want to be, we want to do that with you. We want to do that with you so badly. We want you to experience a fearless, fulfilled life in Christ. And if you have been born again and you are a Christian and you are walking with Jesus, then right now I would love for you to get ready to take communion. We do this, you know, once a month at Three Creeks when we're all together. I think it's been a while. I guess we took communion together as a church family on Good Friday last month, but it being the beginning of May, I just thought it would be appropriate for us to do this in our own homes. Let me remind you briefly why we do communion, why we eat bread and drink juice. Jesus, sitting at the Passover meal, not the same year as the conversation with Nicodemus, but a later year, he was sitting with his 12 key men, his disciples, and it was literally the night before he was going to be killed. And Jesus took some bread and broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you." And then he took a cup of wine, took a drink, and passed it. And the disciples each took a sip. And he said, "This is my blood, which is being shed for you." And then Jesus said these words. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we, as a church now, 2,000 years later, we take that literally. We do this in remembrance of Jesus. And so to remember the Son of God, God in the flesh, who came to earth and died the death that we deserve to die, but came back to life 3 days later, to remember all of that, we take communion. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a song. It's a song called "Jesus Paid It All." He did. He paid it all. And one of the things I always love to remind you, church family, before we take communion, this is not a time for you to sulk. This is not a time for you to feel guilty. This is not a time for you to think about all the ways in which you've let God down. This is a time to remember Jesus. We're supposed to do this in remembrance of Jesus. And this song, "Jesus Paid It All," man, these lyrics, these words, I just want them to soak into your bones as you take communion. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay half of it. He didn't pay some of it. He paid it all for you. And so I give you this time. I think the song is maybe 3 or 4 minutes long. Take some time to pray, get some bread, get some juice, and do this in remembrance of Jesus. We'll see you soon.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Stain, he washed it white as snow. my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin I left to crimson stain.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to watch an online service on Sunday mornings, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.